Beloved in the Lord, in perfect love for us, Jesus Christ, our God and Lord, became incarnate, died, and rose for our sake. He bestows the benefits of his redeeming work on us as he places his body and blood into our mouths in the sacrament of the altar. It is therefore fitting and right that the renewed flagon used to convey his blood for us should be sanctified by the word of God and prayer. O taste and see that the Lord is good. What shall I render to the Lord?
For all his benefits to me.
I will lift up the cup of salvation.
And call on the name of the Lord.
I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving.
And call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord.
In the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O taste and see that the Lord is good.
Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Most gracious God and Father, whose only begotten Son instituted the blessed sacrament of his body and blood, bless this flagon for use at the altar of your church. Grant that all who drink the blood of our Lord Jesus carried with this vessel may rejoice in the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation given to them in this sacrament. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless this flagon and all who receive the sacrament. Amen. The congregation is invited to stand for the order of confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, Let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, how many are my foes?
Many are rising against me.
Many are saying of my soul,
there is no salvation for him in God.
But you, O Lord, are a shield about me,
my glory and the lifter of my head.
I cried aloud to the Lord,
and he answered me from his holy hill.
I lay down and slept. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people
who have set themselves against me all around.
Arise, O Lord.
Save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked.
Salvation belongs to the Lord.
Your blessing be on your people.
God on high.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Cast out all sins and evil desires from us, and pour into our hearts your Holy Spirit to guide us into all blessedness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 65, starting at verse 1. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, "I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their lap both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they made offerings in the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their lap payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord, as a new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, 'Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it,' so I will do for my servant's sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Galatians chapters 3 and 4. Starting at verse 23. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and a life of the world to come. Amen. Before I start the sermon, I want to offer a petition to God for thanksgiving, for safety, for our missionaries, our four who went. They had a hot week, successful week with HAARP, but God was with them, and we're thankful you're here. We'll announce a day in July after we'll have a presentation in a couple weeks, and still figuring out the exact date. We have some ideas, but we'll announce that so everybody can be there, and we'll thank God and see what was accomplished at that time. We pray. Lord God, thank you for opportunities of serving you. Thank you for opportunities for serving our fellow human beings. Especially, we give you thanks for the mission and ministry of HAARP, helping Appalachian rural people, and our ability and resources to participate in that ministry. Thank you for being with Taylor and Deborah and Lynn and Eric on their days this past week. Safe travels, safe work, and safety even in the heat and some storms, and success to get some things fixed and set for some people that needed their houses and homes updated and repaired. We thank you for these opportunities. We thank you for going with the team and with the others from Trinity Lutheran Church also. And we give thanks. And we ask you to continue to give us opportunities to serve you in many ways. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The sermon this morning is a result of preparing for this morning's Bible study and also the readings that we have assigned for the service. And as the Bible class knows this morning, and I told them, I had prepared to get up to Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, but we didn't reach it. But I did read that, and I said, the sermon is going to reflect on this. We're just finishing up the earlier verses. I have a translation of that Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, written in the notes there. To the angel the one of the church in Philadelphia. Write these things, declares the Holy One. In our translation, it usually says the true one, but a suggested translation is the genuine one, the one having the key of David. And that's the introduction to this letter, these seven letters that begin Revelation. And these letters are from Jesus to these churches. And this letter and the following verses are to the church in that city of Philadelphia, those Christians there. And it struck me as I was preparing to be ready for that verse, but we will yet cover it, that this commentator, Dr. Lenski, translated this not the true one, but the genuine one. And this is Jesus himself speaking this. These things declares the Holy One, the genuine, the one having the key of David, the one opening and no one locks, and locking and no one opens. I know thy works. The genuine one. When the prices get higher, sometimes you get the store brand, even though you like the name brand better. You trade down. When you're buying a tool, there's all different types of brand names. And you might have a favorite brand name. And you're hoping you can afford the tool of that brand name, because you know it's better. And you believe it's even better than any other type brand name tool. That hammer is better than any other hammers by any other company. But sometimes you can't afford to get the one you think is the best. So you're getting a different one. But in your mind and heart, you would like a genuine one. The real one. The one that really works. Our gospel reading is this very detailed recording of this miracle that Jesus healed, saved, this man possessed with many demons. And it's recorded by Luke that when this demon-possessed man saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not," well, our translation says torment, but you can also say torture me. Torment, torture. The demon, and we learn in just the following verses, demons, plural. The demons knew Jesus to be the Son of the Most High God, the top God, the top power. You are the Son of the Most High God. What have you to do with us, we demons? They were powerful, weren't they? They possessed this guy. They took over his life. They tried to bind him with chains. The demons gave him the power to break the chains. I imagine they would rather him be clothed, but the demons gave him power to keep people away from him, to stay naked. And he didn't live in a house like somebody in his right mind, normal. But he lived among the tombs. He was unclean. He was deadness throughout his life. But all the power of these demons, yet they recognized Jesus as the Son of the Most High. This is the Most High God. You are above us. We beg you, don't torture us. Don't torment us. So they saw Jesus as the Son of the Most High God, whom they knew was the Christ, was the Savior. The demons knew that already, and it comes out in other places in Luke as well. And they knew that this Son of the Most High God had power over all evils. And if you're filling in the blank, put it plural. Evils. Because there were many evils in this man's life. And there's many evils in the world. It's not just one evil. There's many evils. He even has power over, and we're told in Luke, that Jesus asked how many demons. What is your name, he asked. He said, Legion, because there were many demons, thousands, in fact. Thousands of demons in this man. And Jesus, as the Son of the Most High God, has power even over thousands of demons. And even over the animals. They begged him not to put them into the abyss, the place of final suffering at the end times. Satan and all the demons will be thrown into the abyss and all their followers. And they were asking Jesus, don't throw us to the final torture and torment yet. They're begging him. Lowly Jesus, who was born of this of the cradle, the Virgin Mary, born poor among people every day, healing them, whether poor or rich, interacting with people. They're begging Jesus, don't throw us into the abyss. We know you can, but don't do it yet. And they asked him to throw them into the pigs, and he allowed that. And how? By his word. He says it, he wills it, and so it happens. And they knew that's the way it was. These demons knew that however Jesus wanted, as the Son of the Most High God, that was what was going to happen. They were under him. And just a brief thought and break about this. His word. The demons knew that his word changed their lives and controlled them to go this way and that way. He had ultimate power. Sometimes we Christians even, we don't think God's word will accomplish something in our life, or that we shouldn't have faith in his word, or something in the world is more powerful or more influential than his word. But the demons themselves knew that by the word of Jesus, they could be thrown into the abyss. By his word. Now, the unbelievers, those who saw this plainly, they were afraid of Jesus. They were afraid of what happened. I suggest to our thinking, they were afraid of what Jesus might say because they saw what his saying would do. Jesus didn't have the fighter planes. He didn't have atomic weapons. He didn't need them. But these things that we fear today, this is not what the demons feared. They fear the word of Jesus. And I would suggest to think that these unbelievers, what they were afraid of, who saw all this happen, they were afraid Jesus would say something against them. They were afraid of his word. And if you think deeply about that, God's word is powerful in people's lives. The promises of God, the laws of God, the various narratives, the history that we have in the Bible, it's powerful. And sometimes, perhaps people are afraid to hear those things from God's word because somewhere inside them, they know it's going to do something in their lives. It's powerful. The demons were afraid of his word. But the saved man, our translation says the healed man. And oftentimes I've said from the pulpit, you can translate it healed or saved. And saved is the whole healing, body, mind, and soul, whole healing. What was he doing? Clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was not afraid of Jesus. He saw the grace of Jesus, the power of Jesus to save, to heal. Faith and unbelief runs away from God's word. Doesn't want to hear it, might even be afraid of it deep down. But when one is saved, then God's word becomes a comfort and a strength because those words control everything and comfort everything. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus and he's at peace. He has the peace of God, which passes all understanding, no longer running in the tombs, naked, possessed, but at peace with Jesus, sitting to learn. And he wants to stay with Jesus. This always strikes me, this narrative. He wants to stay with Jesus. What Jesus will is something else for him. Jesus' will is no, go back to your home, to your place, and tell everyone what God has done for you. And he obeys Jesus. He's at peace with Jesus, and if Jesus says, no, I want you to do this, he's at peace. Just a few points for us. Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. I was talking with a professor, former professor of mine, about the Lord's Supper and various things about it, some email conversations a couple weeks ago. And he said one thing he is concerned about is sometimes we don't have the awe of who God is. And we are not showing respect to God, or we take things lightly. And we were talking in a sense of the Lord's Supper. This is the body and blood of the Son of the Most High God for the forgiveness of our sins. It's a holy thing. And I know all of you personally. And I know you believe that and think that and hold to that. And yet, the devil at times wants us to turn away from respecting Jesus or trusting him or listening carefully to the words that he puts with the bread and the wine. This is my body, this is my blood of the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. And the comfort that Jesus wants to give us at that. The devil wants us to forget. Jesus calls us to remember. And to remember that He is, as the translation might read, the genuine one, the real thing, the authentic one. We need to always remember that there is no substitutions for Jesus. There's no trading down. Whether it's wealth or education or political power or another God or another religion or whatever it might be, there is no substitution for Jesus. The demon said, "You are the Son of the Most High. You are the genuine thing. You are the real thing. We respect you. What are you going to do with us?" That is who our Lord and Savior is. That's who died and rose for us. That's who calls us brother and sister, is the genuine one. The very best tool, the very best car, the very best house, the very best land, the very best whatever. He is the best. And I won't spend much time on it. But when Jesus says something is unlocked, it is unlocked. But when Jesus says something is locked, it is locked. When he unlocks it, nobody can lock it. When he locks it, nobody can open it. When Jesus unlocks forgiveness and peace to us, it is forgiveness and peace to us, and nobody can take that away. And the demons are even afraid. So, when things are going this way and that way, we remember, Jesus has unlocked paradise to me. He has unlocked forgiveness to me. His blood was shed for me, the Son of the Most High God. I am forgiven. I am at peace with God. And however he sends me to obey him, I can do it. I am at peace with God. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we ask you to give faith in your Son, for he is of you, the Most High God, who has died and risen for us, who has proclaimed victory over all evils and over death, over the power of the grave. There is nothing that he does not have power over. Sometimes we forget that or fear something else more than we trust in you. Forgive us for those times, but help us to know and believe your word and all the miracles Jesus has done, including his resurrection from the dead, to know that he is the King, the Judge, the Victor, our Shepherd, our Friend. Give us calm and peace each day of our lives in this faith, so that whatever we face and whatever you call us to do for you or to go through in this life, for your name's sake, we can do it. Because we know that Jesus is for us and we have peace with you through him. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The congregation is invited to stand. We offer prayers as printed in the bulletin. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O King of kings and Lord of lords, you call out to every nation of the earth, seeking repentance and justice, even as they rebel against your will. Work repentance in all civil leaders. Use them to defend the weak and to punish the guilty, that the church may have recourse to preach the gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, your Son sent the man formerly possessed by demons to declare how much God had done for him. May your church also, rescued from the snares of the devil, proclaim how much Jesus has done for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Compassionate Father, from whom all fatherhood is named, we give you thanks for earthly fathers. Give them confidence in their station and zeal for their task to care for their families faithfully. Make them examples to their children of godly life and love of your word. Bless their work of bringing up children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. And give them the comfort of your absolution over all their shortcomings. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you have established governments and institutions for good order and our well-being. Guide and grant wisdom to leaders and citizens. Give peace, security, and good laws to our own country, our cities, and our communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, your Son Jesus had pity on the man afflicted with the abundance of demons. Have mercy now on the various afflictions that beset us and troubles that are with us. We remember Margaret and Charlotte, Carlin and Bill, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, James, Violet, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Sue, Norm, Tony, Bryce, Mary, Carlene, Grace, Pastor Tim Heine, Pastor Shiwi. And we pray for safety for all traveling. We give thanks for the LWML conference, and we ask for blessings on the Ohio District Convention. And we ask blessings and health on all mothers with child. And we give thanks for the safety and success of the Zion Mission volunteers to HARP this past week. And all else for whom we pray, grant all healing, strength, and an increase of faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, Isaiah spoke of the new wine full of blessing that will not be destroyed. Grant us faithfully to eat and drink our Lord's own body and blood, given in the fellowship of this altar. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Father, you know the condition of our souls, that we frequently wander into sins, vice, and danger. Hear our prayers for the sake of Christ, who defeated the legions of demons, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with
thy spirit. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.